this time, Larry Palmer is going to come and speak to us.
Well, good evening again. And not too many of us out tonight, but I see on the bulletin board that we had 101. That should strike a little note, because I think we said if we had 100, we'd have a pizza the next Sunday. So we'll have to talk to Tim and Jason about that. But I think we might have been just a little surprised to see that. I was surprised to see that number this morning. But there was a nice number out this morning. We had a good time together around the Word of God. What a great song we sang. I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep me. And it's a good thing to know something. And to know the Lord is especially good. And to know in whom you have believed. And I trust tonight that you have believed in the Lord Jesus. And you know him as your own personal Lord and Savior. But we're going to turn to chapter 8 of Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew chapter 8. We'll read some verses here, and then we'll have a few comments on it, and then that will conclude our evening. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, See that thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer a gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. Or he was paralyzed, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goes, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, those he came unto, shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose, and she ministered, or waited on them. And when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities, and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. That's all we'll read for tonight. And I just have a few thoughts here that we might think about tonight as we consider this passage together. So the first encounter that the Lord had after he came down from the mountain, and you remember the verse preceding that, says, For he taught them, this is in the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount, For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In other words, his words were authoritative. He knew what he was talking about. He was, in fact, the Son of God, and he did know what he was talking about. So, but then he had this encounter with a leper who came to to Jesus just as he was. And that's how we have to come to the Lord Jesus, just as we are. We can't bring anything good, we can't, or anything like that, to gain his favor. But we come as we are, recognizing the fact. And so he came just as he was. Not he wasn't concerned about things, anything, or anyone, but he was fully convinced that this man Jesus could heal him of his disease, of his leprosy. And then we see Jesus doing the unthinkable thing. He reaches out and he touches this leper who has this deadly and highly contagious disease, and immediately the leper was cleansed completely. And this, the scripture depicts leprosy as sin. And there is no remedy for sin other than the healing touch of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Good works, good godly heritage, faithful church attendance, generous giving, all of these can never, never, never remove the death sentence of sin. Only an encounter with the Lord Jesus, bowing before him and asking forgiveness, recognizing our lost and hopeless condition without the Lord Jesus Christ, and receiving his wonderful gift of salvation. Can you or I ever be cured of this deadly disease of sin? I think of the song, "Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Oh, he touched me, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me, and he made me whole." And tonight, dear friend, if you've never had the touch of the Master, if you never come to him and recognized him as your Savior, and he's reached out and given you that forgiveness of sins, you don't know what you're missing. Because I remember as a young fellow, 17 years old, where I cried out to the Lord for forgiveness of sins, and he forgave me. And, the burden of sin rolled away, and I had peace and joy that I hadn't experienced before. So the touch of the Master, shackled by a heavy burden, we can have forgiveness, and we can be whole. Then in verses 5 to 13, the next recorded miracle was healing of a Gentile servant who was sick of the palsy or paralyzed, a totally helpless individual, depicting a sinner, each one of us, unable to do anything to save himself. I think of the paralyzing effect of those who are controlled by different vices, such as alcohol, drugs, pornography, smoking, or any other addiction. And oh, how they long, who have been caught up in this thing, oh, how they long for the ability to rid themselves of those sins, but they have no power to do so. They are unable to help themselves. Think of a successful man who finds himself homeless, sleeping under a bridge or something like that, with their bottle of whiskey in their side. A young, once beautiful young woman selling her body for the next fix. Even a believer who sits in front of his computer allowing his eyes to drink in the allurement of that pornography offers. Or a woman, I've seen one on television, it was a gruesome sight. A woman eaten up by cancer, only wishing she could have stopped smoking before it became too late. Paralyzing effects of sin. Paralyzed by sin and all the consequences of it. But praise God, dear friend, that the deliverance he can give to even those as they turn to him for healing. So even though those that are caught up in these vices and addictions can reach out to Christ, and he will help them to rid themselves of these addictions and things that shackle them, and he can give them liberty. And we're thankful to God for that healing process that he can give to you and I. And you and I may have friends, even relatives perhaps, who might be in this condition. And the encouragement is, don't stop praying for them and reaching out to them for these ones, remembering how the centurion, he came and he beseeched the Lord. You know, he really asked the Lord in a great and beseeching way in behalf of another, for his servant. And the Lord healed his servant. So we as believers can pray and reach out to those that are lost and in these conditions asking the Lord to reveal himself to them and live before them a life that they can see sincerity and love coming from us to them. So now we come to chapter 8 and verses 14 and 15, where we have Peter's mother-in-law sick of a fever. And the first miracle was to a Jew, and the second one was to a Gentile. And now this third miracle that will be performed is to another Jew, Peter's mother-in-law. And there's only two verses here, verses 14 and 15, that we read, that deal with this particular miracle. And but yet, there's another example of a condition that affects us as human beings. Now, a fever is brought on by our body trying to rid itself of some infection, harmful infection, and often leaves us in a very restless condition. I've never had a real bad fever, but I know that if the fever gets bad, very, very bad, there's probably a lot of thrashing and things like that, and you're restless. You know, you can't lie still. And so this is what sin does, too. And it leaves us in that restless condition with no desire even for physical food or drink. And sin is like that also. For the unbeliever or him or her has no desire for any spiritual food either. And the person is in a very restless condition. The scripture says that the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. We find that in Isaiah 57:20. And then Solomon put it this way, for they sleep not except they have done some mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. And that's found in Proverbs. And so it is that that sin gives that person that restless condition. They have no peace. They can't know joy. And they can't just, have peace, because they lack the Prince of Peace in their life, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope tonight that you have an experience and know what it is to have the peace of God in your heart. How good to know that God can bring peace and joy to all those whose lives are in turmoil. The songwriter said, my soul in sad exile was out on life's seas, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest, I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. It's the Lord Jesus that gives peace and calm to a troubled heart and life. And we're thankful for that. Well, the Lord touched the Peter's mother-in-law's hand, and the fever left her, and the Bible says that she arose and ministered unto them. Now in chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, and we can just read them again, I guess, 16 and 17. And when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. We'll read just verse 16. Well, it was a great time on the mountain where the Lord Jesus spoke to those people that gathered. And we know it as the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus delivered one, as we said, with authority. He spoke as one with authority. And then he went down from the mountain and miraculously healed the leper, the man that was sick of the palsy, and then restored Peter's mother-in-law, who was then turned and ministered to them. And I suppose what that means is fed him and gave him whatever they might need, water or things like that. But she says that she ministered unto them after she was healed, after she was raised and rid of that fever that she had, which was keeping her down. But now the shades of night are coming, according to verse 16. Now the shades of night are coming, but still people were coming for deliverance. Many, the scripture says, possessed with devils, who he cast out with his words, and he healed all that were sick. Now, I like that word all, because it's inclusive. It includes all. How wonderful that Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the scripture bears out and makes it clear that all who are lost, that he's come to seek and to save all that are lost. By this time, Lord Jesus was probably quite tired and physically and mentally. For while the Lord Jesus was God, yet he was still man. Truly God, yet truly man. And the evening had come, and he probably felt the same things that we do, and when we're even comes, we become tired. And I'm sure that at this point he was probably exhausted. Because remember the time when the woman with the issue of blood came to him, and she just kind of snuck up, you know, and touched the hem of her garment, of his garment, and she was healed. And the Lord Jesus is quoted as saying, he felt virtue go out of him with this healing. So I can only imagine, with the throngs of the people who were possessed with devils, or just plain sick, were all miraculously healed. Jesus must have been drained, and I think this is played out in some of the verses that follow that we're probably not going to go into tonight. But it says, but the Lord Jesus was, I would say, tired, exhausted, because of all that went on in that day. But all these miracles, the healing of the leper, the healing of the sick man, sick of the palsy, the Peter's mother-in-law who had the fever, all these here miracles were in fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 53:4. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. And all of these were proofs and signs. And you know, it was the Jewish people that always wanted a sign, wasn't it? They asked the Lord for a sign. We need a sign. We need a sign. And here's the Lord Jesus performing all these miracles and giving them the signs and the proof that he was the Messiah, the very Son of God, the promised one, who the religious people looked forward to. They looked for him. But many of them, like people today, they have eyes that they don't see. They have ears that they don't hear. And as the proclamation of the gospel goes out today into the world, whether it be through radio or TV and or word of mouth or a tract or whatever, people, they can't see it and they don't want to hear it. And so those people too, the religious leaders and all those that looked for the Messiah, they had eyes but they couldn't see, and they had ears but they couldn't hear. And so now, just before the encounter, as we've read, with the couple men that said that they wanted to follow the Lord Jesus, in fact, one was a certain scribe in verse 19. A certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, that was a good statement. And it sounded good. Sounds good. But the scribe gave a verbal assent to a life of following the Lord Jesus. He verbally said, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus now warns him that a life of service for him is not without denial. It may cost. While here in his public ministry, the Lord never owned his own home. He never had possessions. He didn't have a particular thing like most of us have, jobs and things like that. He had one job, but it was to please his father. But he never had a dwelling place of his own. He went to homes. Remember, he went to Martha and Mary's home and Lazarus' home often, and I'm sure they had a place of rest for him. But for his own home, he never had that. And he said that even his creation, the things that he created, the animal life and things like that, they had foxes that had holes and the birds of the air had nests, but the Son of Man didn't have so much as a place to lay his head. He had a higher purpose, which did not include any material things this world offers. And you know that we too need to keep in mind that this world, with all its allurements, is not our home. And this morning in men's class that we were thinking about that of Abraham, you know, he was a sojourner. He moved on. He didn't sink his tent stakes too deep because this place, this earth was not his home. He looked for something better that the Lord had promised him. And we too need to keep that in mind, not to sink our roots too deep in this, where we find ourselves, whatever that might include. And we can answer that to our own heart. What is it that I'm doing that I think that I'm going to be here forever? Because we're not. Our life is very short. The Bible tells us our life is like a vapor. It's here for a while and then it's gone. And what's after that? And that's the important thing. And also, keep in mind too that that little poem or course, I guess it was, whatever, only one life. It soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ is what's going to last. And so we should be storing up treasures in heaven, not treasures on earth. And so we need to remember that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid out somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Now the other man's response, that was the scribe, but the other man's response to the Savior's call was that of, Lord, my needs and wishes first. A little contradiction there. Lord, and then, this is what I want to do. So we can't really say Lord and Master if we don't do what he says. Luke 6:46 says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And how often we're guilty of the same thing. We call him our Lord, and yet we obey not his commandments. And some of his commandments are fairly, they're, I don't know if you want to call them easy, but they're, we can do them. He's asked us to be faithful to him. He's asked us to remember him, as we do often, every Sunday morning here in the breaking of bread. He's asked us to identify him within baptism. I don't know if you've all been baptized that will know the Lord as Savior, but he's asked us to do that. He's asked us to identify with him and stand up for what is he stands for and be part of his, put on the uniform, as it were, of the Savior. So his instruction to the disciple was that said, one of 21, and another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me to first go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. So his instruction to that disciple was not one of unconcern. It wasn't that the Lord didn't care about families or friends, but I think what he wanted was he wanted someone who was more interested in following him and doing what he said than the affairs of this life. And we too need to keep that in mind be willing to follow him in a self-sacrificing manner to the Master. Cheryl and I, in the mornings, we have our devotion together, and then we read a little out of the Mission Magazine about a missionary or something like that, one of them. Not something like that, but a missionary and what they're doing, their work. And then we pray for them. And I look at some of these missionaries. There's young ones, but then, you know, there's a lot of young ones too. And these young ones have been willing to give up what normal young people may be going for. They're willing to sacrifice all those things for the Savior. And so it is, I think that's what he would have of us, willing to sacrifice. Not all of us are called to go to the mission field, I'm not saying that, but be willing to do what the Lord wants you to do. It might be something small, might be something you might think insignificant even, but if it's done for the Lord, you will not lose your reward. The Bible says even a cup of cold water given in the name of a disciple, I think it says, won't lose this reward. And so that's a pretty small thing that we can all do. We can show kindnesses to each other. We can express that love to our neighbors, our friends, and let the Lord shine through us. And I trust that we're striving to do that sort of thing. So another song says, give your best to the Master, not as worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above. Lay down his life without murmur. You from sin's ruin to save, give him your heart's adoration. Give him the best that you have. And tonight, we have that privilege of serving the Master. We have that ability and to speak a word for him. Sometimes some of us are not real gifted in words and not real bold when it comes to that sort of thing. But, you know, the Lord will give us what we need to say. And, you know, we've experienced that recently ourselves, Cheryl and I, as we say things to people, the Lord gives us the right words. You know, we feel inadequate sometimes. But, you know, if we trust the Lord, he'll give us the right thing to say, and he'll help us in that endeavor. And then, most importantly, I think, is that our life. Are we living our life in such a way that others can see Christ in us? Do they see the Lord Jesus in me? Well, probably they don't all the time. But my prayer is that they would. And so we need to strive for that. And again, we need to make sure that we are prepared and ready to meet the Savior. For only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. And also, that life, which is like a fleeting thing, at the end, we need to be prepared to meet the Lord. Because the Bible says that every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But, you know, if we don't bow the knee before our life ends, we will bow the knee before him, but he'll have to say to us, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And we'll have to be separated for an eternity from the one who loves us and the one who died for us and the one who's prepared a place for us. He says to his disciples, he said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And that's what we are looking forward to, that day when the shout will come and the Lord will take up all those who know him as Savior and will meet those who have gone on before in the air and will evermore, forevermore, to be with the Lord. And so we're to comfort one another with these words. And that's what we're trying to do tonight. And we're thankful for each one of you to come out tonight. And I trust that everyone here, young or old, boys or girls, well, we don't have any children tonight. Well, we have some. But nevertheless, I trust that each one has come to know the Lord as personal Lord and Savior and have sins forgiven and life eternal. And so we're going to close now and we'll be dismissed.